start paying closer attention to those, what I wear on Sundays, those kids, they're noticing my belt. That kind of scares me a little bit. Wow, my shoes. But they didn't notice the scars. That's kind of old age and all that good stuff. I wanted to update you on Octavia, the little girl we've been praying for. They're coming home today. Michelle comes here on Sundays. They've been in Little Rock at Children's for a while, and we're just so excited that she's getting to come home today. So be sure to pray for them and as they come home, and we're just grateful for that God has allowed them to come home. And, you know, and then you come home and the real work begins because you don't have the nurses and all that, and you have to deal with it. All right, I want to talk to you. This is kind of like, I appreciate David last week preaching while I was gone. We took Julie's dad back, and I appreciate him coming in and preaching. And this is kind of like my my vision sermon, and I just am doing it a week later. And before I say that, Ty, stand up. You knew I'd do it to you. We got Ty back, you know. He is, the whole time Ty left us, we prayed for him to come back, and I guess God felt like he needed to be in Mount Ida. So we're glad he starts work tomorrow, and we're so gracious to have him back. All right, I want to talk to you about the word remember. And Julie and I discuss all my sermons and argue and all this, and I run them by her. And here's what I had. I had remember as the title, in parentheses, things we need to remember as we attack 2022. And lo and behold, she didn't like the word attack. And I don't know, I don't remember, what was your word that you thought would be better?
Approach.
And I, you know, I'm pretty wife picked, but some things I had to put my foot down. And I said, no, it's attack, because I'm tired of everybody going into the new year like wimps, to be quite honest. I mean, the last 3 years or last 2 years have been some of the hardest years of ministry just because we have this little friend called COVID, and it's changed nearly everything we do, and you know, it's affected all of us, and it's affected the church greatly. And I want us to go into 2022 not with a gentle spirit, but I want us to attack it. And you know, it's important to use little phrases like that. Now, I'm a Texan. I know we have a guest. Ann, are you? Is it Ann? Is that correct? Are you a native Texan? Okay. You know, if you're a tech, and I normally don't embarrass first-time guests by calling them out like that, Ann, but when you see a Texan, you have to kind of do that. You see, to be a Texan, you have this thing called pride, correct? Everybody know that Texas pride? And one of the things every Texan knows about is the Alamo. And everybody that goes to San Antonio goes to the Alamo expecting to see this big fort and all this, just a little bitty old, it's pitiful looking now in the middle of San Antonio. But back in the day, there were 187 people. Not all of them were even Texans yet, because Texas was not a place yet. But they were beginning to fight for their independence from Mexico. And so at the Alamo, there were 187 men. And you know, I remember in school, we go over this quite a bit, you know. And Travis, wasn't that his name, Julie? Travis drew a line and said, those that are willing to stay here and die, come over here, or vice versa. And everybody came across, and all 187 men died. They made a decision because they knew there was no surrender if they stayed there and fought. And the odds were terrible. Maybe that, you know, Texans need to do math a little bit better, but there were 187 Texans and 1,500 Mexicans that's kind of a outnumbering, and we held them off for several days, and finally the thing happened that was going to happen. They lost Alamo, and they lost their lives as well. Well, Sam Houston had his army, and they went to a little place in the Houston area called San Jacinto. He had about 900 men, and Santa Anna had moved his army, and it had shrunk to about 1,200 to 1,300 soldiers, and they were in San Jacinto. And the Texans' rally cry was, "Remember the Alamo." And in a short period of time, they routed and won the and defeated Santa Anna. And they used that phrase, "Remember the Alamo." And in World War II, they did a lot of times, "Remember Pearl Harbor." And it's important for us to remember the past. Now, there are some things we would like to forget, but I think as the church, we need to remember some things to go into 2022, not as wimps, not as babies, but as people who are ready to do business. The church was never designed to be a bunch of wimps. Just wasn't. They were to always be going forward. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Things we need to remember as we go forward. First of all, we need to remember what God has done in the past. Man, I can remember coming here over 3 years ago, and this sanctuary didn't look anything like this at all, period. Not even close. You can't even imagine. Dark. It was so dark in here. And I remember coming in there about 40 people, I think, the first Sunday in February. And I'm thinking, oh, my, 40 people. God has been good. This last year, 14 people joined our church by baptism and letter and statement, and that's a good thing. We've seen our finances grow. We've seen our worship center, our worship attendance grow, then go down because of COVID, then come back, and then COVID comes again and it goes down. And we're going to beat it eventually, because you're going to have to decide whether you're going to live or die. And the truth is, we're all going to die. That's just reality. But God has been good to us financially. Wednesday nights, He's been so good to us. I put it in there. We had 41 children. That's grades first through six. How many preschoolers did you have Wednesday?
Six.
Six preschoolers. I don't know about the nursery. We had, I think Brent told us, 32 youth. 38 youth. That's even worse, better. I don't know how many adults. At that point, I just give up. But you know, God has been so good to us, and we're very grateful, and our church has done a good job of reaching out to our community on Wednesday nights. We've also made a Dominican Republic trip, and then COVID came, and then we're planning to go back this summer, even though COVID will probably be here the rest of our lives. We've added two life groups and need to add some more. Last year we had our first marriage class, and we had a full house. We had 26, I believe. That was the max number. And we're almost to that for our new one that's going to start on the 16th. Next Sunday night is our new marriage thing. Let me address this. Listen, if you don't think you need one, that's the first sign you need one. If you don't need if you don't need any help in your marriage, that's the first sign you need help in your marriage. And they're going to be fun. Julie, the rib, we call her, we're going to be leading it this time. But that starts next. And if you want to sign up, we have a few more spots left. But the past has been good. And it's been hard. We've lost some loved ones. That was tough. But we need to remember the past. And I remember we've been in the gym. We came up here. It's just been one thing after the other. But the second thing I want you to remember, I think, is so incredibly important as we go into 2022. It's this. Remember who you are in Christ. You see, one of the things, and I'm talking about this on Wednesday nights, How do you change people? Well, God does the changing, but the way God does the changing is He changes the way you think. And one of the problems is many of us have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we've never changed the way we think. And that is so critically important as we go into 2022. We need to remember who we are in Christ. John 1:12 says it like this. To all who believed in Him, talking about Jesus, to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of what kind of home life you had, what kind of past you have, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says you are a child of God. Don't ever forget that. When you fail, you're still a child of God. There's too many people who are Christians who don't realize that they are a child of God, and that never changes. And if we're going to be effective in 2022, we need to remember whose children we are. Another thing is 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has come. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're new. Now, you may live like the old person, and that's not God's plan for your life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it says you have a whole new identity. You're a whole new person. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of your past, you're a new person. And the way God wants it to be is your old life goes away and your new life comes. And the new life are things like the fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, and joy. Too many people are still living like they're the old person. I guarantee you, nearly every problem you have in the church is related when Christians live like old Christians or the old person. Ephesians 1:7 says, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Don't forget that if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. A lot of times people want to talk about their past, and I'm willing to listen if it really helps them, but I don't need to know. You need to know that if you're a believer, regardless of the mistakes that you've made, you're forgiven. You're not the old person, you're a new person. And too many times we see ourselves the way we used to be, and we act the way we used to be. Louis Giglio had a book called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at the Table, and it's an excellent book. I encourage you to read it. We had it as a Bible study class here, and he says this. Now, I want you to listen to this. The enemy, Satan, wants to define you by your scars. The way Satan wants to define you is by your failures. I'm divorced, I'm this, I'm that. That's how Satan wants to define you. But listen to this. But Jesus wants to define you by His scars. The grace of Jesus Christ removes your old identity and replaces it with a brand new identity. You are a son or daughter of God. You are a child of the King. You are written into God's will. You are a beneficiary of the lavish love of God, which has changed you from failure, and I like this, to family. From failure to family. You are a beloved family member of God, and because of that, you are given a seat at the table with the Almighty God. I find too often that Christians live in their past failures. Live according to His scars. Live as a child of the King. Live as one who has an inheritance. Self-esteem should not be built on what you do or do not do. It should be built on what He did for you. Too many Christians live not as a child of God, but as a person who beats themselves up for their past instead of allowing God to bring new into that. So don't forget you're a child of God. Number three, remember, it's all about making disciples. Everything we do at First Baptist Mount Ida needs to lead to the goal of making you a disciple of Christ. Matthew 28 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. Get this. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you to the end of the age. Now, really and truly, that's what ought to drive this church. We are to be going. It's a participle. It means going wherever you go. You go to Bob's. You're going to Bob's to get food, but to make disciples. Your work is your mission field. You go to work, and that is your mission field. Wherever you're going, you and I need to be concerned about making disciples. It says, not only that, we are to be baptizing them. The B word. Immersion. That's one of the, it does not save you. But when you are immersed, it is a commitment. It is a connection. It is saying, I'm all in. And we are to go into the world, and we're to be going, and we're to be baptizing, and we are to be teaching. Teaching what? Teaching everything we're supposed to obey that Jesus said. Church is not a place to just show up. It's not a duty you do. It's a change of life. It's where God changes you, and our goal as a church is to make disciples. That is the only command in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. We are not to make church members. We are to not make church attenders. We are to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows Christ. I've had people say, well, I just want to teach a Sunday school class. You don't just teach a Sunday school class. You teach with the goal of making a disciple. See, we used to think, hey, here's what it's all about, is we just give people information. Our goal is not just information. It is transformation. Scripture ought to change us. And we need to understand as a church, our goal is to equip kids, teenagers, and adults about how to follow Christ, how to be a disciple. And that is the reason we exist. Don't forget that in 2022. We don't exist to show up. We exist to make disciples. It never changes. And then here's the fourth thing. Oh, this stuff gets me excited because I'm looking at 2022, and if we get this stuff, we can change the world we live in. Remember your calling. Every single one of us who call ourselves believers have a calling. God didn't just call you to sit and soak. God called you to do something, to serve Him, to follow Him. I love one of my favorite ones is Jonah. Go to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1, and this is the picture of so many Christians. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Okay? God said, go. I'm calling you. Go. Tell these people. But look at his response in verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Let me tell you something, people. When God calls you to follow Him, He has something He wants you to do. God didn't make mistakes when He calls. He calls. The mistake is we don't follow His calling. And if you're a believer in Christ, He did not call you to just be a sitter. He called you to be a part of His plan. Matthew 16:24 says this, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If any of you wants to be My follower,'" get it? Follower. You can't be a Christian if you're not a follower. That's the whole point. And then He says, "If any of you wants to be My follower, you must give up your own way." When you're not involved in church, and that's all I'm talking about, but it could be any area of your life. When you're not involved in church, it's because you're doing it your way. He says, you got to get rid of your own way. Listen, God has a plan, and you're a part of fulfilling it. He says, you must give up your own way. How do you decide whether you go to church or not? How do you decide whether you do this for God or not? Most of the time you ask yourself. That's the problem. Isn't it? I mean, let's just be honest. We ask ourselves, well, Lord, I don't have time to do that. Acts 20:24 says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." In other words, God has got a job for every single person in this room who is a believer. He has something that He wants you to do that I can't do with your gifts and your talents. It's your calling. And then in 1 Peter 4:10 it says, "God has given each of you a gift from His variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another." There are plenty of things that God wants you to do here at Mount Ida in 2022. You can help on Sunday mornings by working with children or youth or adults. You can pass out bulletins. You can greet people. I mean, there's some Wednesday nights. I'm just telling you, we need every single person here on Wednesday nights using your gifts and your talents for the kids that come here from the community. Wouldn't you agree, Samantha? Samantha's one of those brave few that comes and withstands the balls being thrown, and we're going to work on that Tuesday night getting it changed. But let me tell you something. Wednesday night, this place is crazy. Bob has a team that cook and clean up that is second to none. And you say, well, I can't teach. You don't have to teach. All you have to do is care. You say, well, it's rough. You see, you gotta understand that God has a plan for your life. We're going to have vacation Bible school. We're going to have all kinds of activities this new year. And the one thing we need is people, bodies. And God has called you to serve Him. The biggest problem He has is you getting out of His way. And it's the biggest problem He has with me. Remember God's calling. Fifth thing. Remember, Scripture equips us to live for Him. Now, you know, in 2022, let me just say this. Bible reading is something you need in every year of your life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says this. All Scripture is inspired by God. Literally, it means the way that God speaks is through His Word. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. You know, who are you listening to tell you what is okay and what is not okay to do in life? Dr. Phil? Oprah? I mean, really, you're listening to somebody. Why not God? Teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You see, the Scripture helps me identify what I'm doing that is wrong. If you ask culture, you're not doing anything wrong. You can do whatever you want, right? It's all how you perceive truth. And no, that's not right. God has a plan. He makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. Scripture corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. How do you know how to do what you do as a believer? It's Scripture. And then he says God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Listen, two things you need. You need personal time reading your Bible. Our men's Bible study starts back up tomorrow night. One of the things we'll start on is accountability. Are you reading your Bible? Everyone needs that personal time. It's how you get equipped. It's how you know truth. But you also need small group time. You need a group of believers that you can ask questions with. And, you know, we started a new series by Louis Gigolo this morning. Excellent. Talking about the need we all have for the approval of our Father. Scripture is how teenagers know how to live. It's not just an adult thing. It's how children know how to live. It's how adults. It's how we get equipped. Remember, Scripture equips us to live for Him. And then the sixth thing, you have all the power you need. Oh, we need a better preacher. You do need a better preacher. But the thing this church needs is better people. And how do you get to be better people? You let the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you take over. Look what he says in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Where do you get the power to tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ? It's from the Holy Spirit that's with you 24/7. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God, and circle this if you have it, who is able, God who is able through His mighty power, circle power, mighty power at work within us. You know, we want God to do His mighty work outside of us. But the Scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, the way God wants to do it is within us. When the Holy Spirit within you has complete access to your life, then you begin to see God's power. He says, now God who is able through His mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Do you really want God to do more than you would ask at First Baptist Mount Idy? Mount Idy. That's Mount Idy. Mount Ida. Do you really? You can pray for it, and that's good, but the main thing is you're going to have to let Him take over. The thing that's holding back revival in Mount Ida is us. Holy Spirit, we got all the Holy Spirit we need if we believe. The problem is we don't allow it to work through us. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You and I have all the power we need. The problem is we just need to turn it on. And the way you turn it on is getting out of the way and surrendering, saying, here I am. Work through me. Do you really believe 200 people could fit in here? I don't think 200 could fit in here because we don't have 200 seats. What if He filled up every seat? What would we do? we'd have another service. It'd be earlier. God didn't want to just start with a little holy huddle up here. He wants us to keep on. Now, can we have 120 in small groups? And folks, I promise you, probably the 1st of February, we're going to have our open house for our youth and our children, for the church and the community. It's really looking nice. We're almost there, waiting on some more things to come in. But even if we have it, we still need the power. And the power is not found in a preacher or a program. It's found in a person who allows the Holy Spirit to work in them and through them. Remember, we have the power. The seventh thing, remember, we have a long way to go. Acts 1:8 says, telling people everywhere about me, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Look at Acts, if you don't mind. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 27. I love this passage. It says, then they brought the apostles before the high council where their priests confronted them. We gave you strict orders never to teach in this man's name. Talking about Jesus, he said. Instead, and I love this, underline this, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching about him and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. I would love for people to say about First Baptist Mount Ida, I would love for people to say, we're just filling up the town with Jesus. That we're just filling up the community. Listen, people, if we fill this room up, there's plenty of more people who need a place. Other churches need to be doing their job, but I just know Mount Ida has a lot of work to do to reach this community. In Acts, that same chapter, verse 42, it says this, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. You know, it's this, we always need one more. We need one more person. Acts 12:24 says, meanwhile, the word of the Lord continued to spread and there were many new believers. We never need to be content with the amount of people we have. Always one more. Always one more. My favorite movie, I've shown it to you before, is Schindler's List. One of my favorite movies. It's a tough movie. And Schindler was a pagan, and he was a guy, though, that saved, they say in his life, they estimate that he was able to save 1,200 Jewish lives by employing them in his business. And it became his passion to employ and bribe the Nazis and the Germans with his money, because he was very wealthy at the time. And in the movie, towards the very end, there's a picture of them giving a ring to Oscar Schindler. And inside the ring, it says this, he who saves one life saves the world entire. And it was from the Talmud. And when they gave him that ring and they said that in the movie, he starts saying this, he over and over again, he says, I didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. I could have just saved one more person. I could just save one more person. And one of the things you get caught up in is his passion for physical lives. I really wish that we would have that kind of passion for the people in our area. Just one more person. There's just one more broken person that needs Jesus. There's just more, one more. And folks, we can't do enough. We have a long way to go. The seventh thing, you are the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, we are called the temple. We are the temple. The Holy Spirit lives within us. 1 Peter 2:5 says this, and you are a living stone that God is building into His spiritual temple. Here's the thing. First Baptist Mount Ida is not brick and mortar. It's your life. As soon as you walk out of this place, as soon as you go to school, as soon as you go to work, you take the church with you. That ought to scare you to death. It does me. We need to remember in 2022, we don't go to church. We are the church. How we act, what we believe, what we do is so incredibly important because we are the church. And we need to understand that as the church, we need to act like the church. And then here's the last thing. Remember, never quit dreaming. Mark Batterson, one of my favorite writers, says, the day we stop dreaming is the day we start dying. He goes on to say this, he says, you are only one prayer away from a dream being fulfilled, a promise kept, a miracle performed. Here's what happens to churches. They quit dreaming. They get their buildings fixed. Things are good. They quit dreaming. About the only thing I had when I came here was a dream, and I still have a dream. It's for this church to be valuable to the community because we have Christ living through us. Acts 2:17 says, in the last day, God says, I will pour my spirit upon all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Listen. I'm still dreaming. And I hope you are too. What can God do with a little bitty group of people in Mount Ida, Arkansas? As we go into 2022, I don't want to go in scared. I want to go in believing that we can change this town. And there are other churches, and I'm believing they can do it as well. But I want to be a church. And all I can be responsible is for our church. I want to be a church that makes a difference. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time to be here. And you've been so good to us at church. Help us to remember the things that matter. And help us to look forward to the dream that you have for First Baptist Mount Ida. Help us to turn the power on. Help us to not run from our calling, but to run to you who calls us. And Father, I thank you for this new year, and I thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.